today's topic is musculoskeletal assessment. So let's talk about some vocabulary words. Adduction versus abduction. What do those two words mean? What is abduction? So what I want you to think of, I want you to think of a plane straight down the center of your body. So it's dividing you from the front half and the second and the back half. Now, if you move along that plane away from the body, that's called abduction. If you move in that plane toward the body, towards the center of the body, that's called adduction. So really, the only two joints that really abduct or adduct are the hips and the shoulders. So the shoulders will abduct as you move the arms outwards. Hips will abduct as you move the legs apart. Abduct going the opposite direction. Flexion and extension. Flexion is moving away from 0 degree angle, and extension is moving toward 0 degree angle. So it's easy to know flexion of the elbow. So elbow flexes, the arm bends. Extension goes towards straight. What happens if it goes past straight? Anyone double jointed here? That's hyperextension. Now, it's a little more difficult, or it's easy also with the knee. So with the knee, if the leg is straight, you bend the knee, that's flexion. If you straighten the knee out, that's extension. A little bit more difficult with the shoulders and the hips. Now, how would flexion of the shoulder go? Okay, so this is flexion. This is extension of the shoulder. It's easier if you think about it in terms of hip. If you flex your hip, what would you do? Bring the knee up. We have a name for a muscle called the hip flexor. The hip flexor does this motion. So the opposite of this would be extension. Once you go past straight and bring the hip backwards, that's called hyperextension. Same thing with the shoulder. Bringing the shoulder from straight down upwards is called flexion. Moving it back down is extension, and this is called hyperextension. Next, we have inner and outer rotation. So the only joints that rotate, inner and outer, again, is going to be hip and shoulder. So take your arms, bend them 90 degrees. Now take your hands and move them outwards. You have externally rotated your shoulders. If you move them inwards, now you have externally or internally rotated them. And yes, you can use third. Alright, now how many of you have ever done ballet? Turnout. Now, turnout is not your feet moving outwards, it's the whole hip, knees and everything moving outwards. That's an external rotation of the hip. Next one we have is, let's skip to the bottom, elevation and depression. So again, shoulders can elevate and depress. So if someone's like this, what's the shoulder doing? It's elevated. And if they're like this, that's depression. Supination and pronation. The hands are the joints that supinate and pronate. So what does the word supine mean? Flat on one's back. So turn your hand so that it's on his back. That's supination. Now, what does prone mean? Flat, laying flat, face down. So turn your hand face down. That's pronation. So if you remember what prone and supine means, it's easy to know what the hands should be doing. So to supinate, turn your hand over. To prone, flip your palm face down. Inversion and inversion. These are what ankles do. So if the ankle turns inwards, it's based on the bottom of the foot. So if your ankle turns so that the bottom of your foot is facing outward, that's called eversion. If it turns so that the bottom of your foot is facing inwards, that's called inversion. So this is eversion because the bottom of the foot is facing out. This is inversion, because the bottom of the foot is facing in. Inversion and eversion are common causes of what injury? Sprains. brains. Alright, so history. We're going to ask about joint problems. Lateralization. What does lateralization mean? Imagine for a moment someone comes in and says, you know, I've got pain in my knees. I've got a pain in my knee. What do you want to know? What does the word lateral mean? Okay, lateral path. What is a path to the side? So we talk about lateralization. Which side is it that hurts? Does it hurt on both equally? Does one hurt more than the other? Multiple or single? Does it happen on both sides equally? Does it happen on one side only? Acute or chronic? Does it hurt? Has it hurt for just a short amount of time, or has this been going on for a long time? Does it get better with rest, or does it get worse with rest? Does it get better or worse as the day goes on? Is it tender to the touch, and is it red or swollen? For muscles themselves, we can ask about cramps, spasm, myalgia. What is myalgia? Muscle pain. We can ask about weakness and atrophy. What is atrophy? Getting smaller. What's the most common cause of muscular atrophy? Not using them. Now, are there any diseases that could cause muscle atrophy? Okay, myasthenia gravis. All right, and what's the problem there? Okay, so you have a loss of receptors, neuromuscular receptors, that send the message to the muscle, so the muscle doesn't get used as much.
Okay, when Lorenzo's oil.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what is that? That's a good extra credit question, perhaps, on a quiz. The question was, what about Lorenzo's oil? That one. So maybe we should look that up for extra credit. It's a movie. You don't have to watch the movie. So, we have a loss of the receptor. What else could cause atrophy? We have this, you know, just not using it. Now, in order for our muscles to be used, we have to have... What?
Activity?
Well, what causes the muscle to move?
Energy.
Okay, energy. But what tells it to move?
Impulses
from the nerve. So, we can have neural diseases, and we can have the receptor problem, like myasthenia gravis, and we can also have protein metabolism issues. So, things that, like protein malnutrition, liver disease, and what was the one we talked about today, was in the answer to a test question? Any drugs, perhaps? Know of any drugs that cause muscular atrophy? Yes, you do. What kind of drug? Prednisone, yes. So, steroid drugs, corticosteroids, can cause atrophy. So, whenever you see someone who has atrophied muscles, things that should run through your head, is this patient on steroids? Does this patient have any neurological disorders? And is this person have disuse? Now, if they have atrophy only on one side, that's a pretty good sign that the problem is either use or neurological. Alright, bones. Is there any tenderness or any pain? What's the difference between tenderness and pain again? What's the difference between pain and tenderness? You should know this one by now. Okay, so tenderness is, does it hurt when I push on it? And pain is, does it just hurt? any deformities and any trauma. Functional history. Can a person bathe themselves? Can they wipe themselves? Kind of like in the Big Daddy. Can you wipe your butt? Yeah. So, can a person dress themselves, groom themselves? Can they feed themselves? Can they get around? Can they talk? Can they communicate? In order for a person to talk, what has to happen? Muscles in the fish must move to form words. The tongue must be able to move. So a lot of different fine muscles need to be used in order to communicate. Ask about these self-care behaviors. What does a person do for work? Do they sit on their duffs all day, or do they do physical activity? Do they exercise regularly? Do they do any self-care things like massages or hot tubs? What kind of bed do they sleep on? And any medications they might take. Now, next medications, I want you to write down statins. Statin medications can cause breakdown of muscle, which can lead to a potentially fatal kidney disorder. And we'll learn a lot about that next semester, but I want you to write now, if a person has muscle pain, you should ask them, are you taking any statin medications? And they're called statin medications because they all end in statin. All you need to know for now. Basic approach to the physical exam. We are going to inspect, we are going to palpate, we are going to do range of motion testing, and then we're going to do strength testing. We're going to do those four aspects over and over and over again on different parts of the body. First thing we do is inspect the part, then we are going to palpate it, then we are going to do range of motion, and then strength testing. So, the sequence. We're going to start with the TMJ, the temporal mandibular joint. You're going to inspect it. You're going to palpate it. You're going to ask them to do the range of motion. Now, you're not going to ask them to bite down on your finger to test that strength. So you're actually not going to do strength testing on the TMJ. Then we're going to do the TMJ with the masseter and the temporalis muscles. Then we're going to move down to the cervical spine. So we're going to palpate the cervical spine. We're going to have them, we're going to inspect it, palpate it, have them look up, down, all around. Oh my gosh. I'm a blonde. Remember, blonde is a color, not an attitude. No, blonde is an attitude, not a color. Then we're going to do the upper extremities. We're going to start with the shoulder. Then we're going to do the elbow, then the wrist, then the hand. Then we're going to go to the lower extremities, the hip, the knee, the ankle, and the toes. And then you can also do the thoracic and lumbar, lumbosacral spine. Now, we've actually already assessed this earlier on when we did the lungs, right? So there's only one more test that we're going to do for the lumbosacral and thoracic spine, and that's check for scoliosis.